Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a Wolverine purr.
I'd be sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day
for the United States of America.
It's a Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock! That's what we call a sack lunch!
They do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
Tuesdays, we do guest it up. Oh, yeah. We have some guests on Tuesdays. Charles Arbuckle, going to be a little bit hoarse today, as you could tell during the show. No worries. It'll probably clear up. Or it'll either do that, or it'll do that thing, Crazy Charlie, where it dies. I'm not sure which one we're going to this morning, but all good. All good. I've got a big cup of water over here, too. That ought to help me move along this morning on the show. Charles Arbuckle coming up at about the 15 mark here on the show this morning. Early. Buck's already tweeted he's getting an early morning workout in, and then we'll chop it up with our good friend Buck, talk a little college football with him. We're always thinking about, dreaming about, talking about college football here on the show. A little later, Gator Dave will check in with us. His podcast, Gators Breakdown, will get down to Duval County, see what's happening with them. That's the home of one, the pontifical one, Ascubula Jesus. That would be Urban Meyer. I don't know, any Urban Meyer spottings down there in Duval? We'll check in, though. That won't be the topic of conversation, but we may just drop that in there just to have a little bit of fun. Anything that involves Urban Meyer is a pretty good conversation to me. And a little later, hour three from the AJC's Dog Nation. That would be Griff, Mike Griffith, who will talk some dogs, some college football. You got to remember, Griff is from Michigan, went to Michigan State. Has spent most of his career, though, down south, whether it's in the state of Alabama, many years, state of Tennessee, lots of years, and now down in Georgia. So he's got a pretty good feel for up there and down here. Does that make sense? Yeah, he's been up close and personal, both Big Ten and the SEC. So we love talking. And the other thing about Griff is you never know what's going to come, right? One of the intriguing things about Griff is he's, I don't know if you'd call him unorthodox, but Griff is going to say something next about whatever that you may not expect. I like that. Yeah, I've said for years, we do not want the pragmatic, reasonable Griff. That's not fun. Griff being Griff, that's a lot of fun. 615-844-5600 on Twitter at Bill Is King. And if you'd like to email the show, BillIsKing7@gmail.com. This is interesting email from Trent in Nebraska. And he says, Bill, basically, you know, I'm always talking about, have you ever been there? You ever toured the facilities at Nebraska? You ever been there? It's a cool place, yeah. But just geographically, it's real flat. Just different geographics, different terrain than where we're at, different terrain than if you're wherever, right? I mean, everybody's area is somewhat different. And he says, Bill, it's really not that flat. I'm from the sand hills of Nebraska. Isn't all that flat at all. Anyways, here is his email. Bill, been listening for over a decade out in Nebraska. Enjoy your personal interaction with the people out there on your show. says, your frequent rec tech discussions have recently become more intriguing because I'm having problems with my Traeger. It's getting old. Yeah, his Traeger, that's another pellet grill. We're rec tech people, but few people in the audience. Buckeye Brenda has a Traeger. Gator Brandon has a Traeger. So some of you. Jerry Ellich has a Traeger. Says, Bill, you've mentioned reaching out prior to purchasing a rec tech. I'm looking at either the RT340 or the 590. Probably going to get the 340, Bill. I appreciate your help on this one. Yeah, and I sent him, if you ever decide you're going to jump in and get the pellet grill, which will be a game changer for you. We love it. And I don't know how many people out there have bought these because of our suggestion, but lots of people have. I've got a name, Jordan, and a contact number for you down in Georgia for him. He's a terrific guy, and I can't make any promises, but if you call, you use my name. Many times I'll get people say, hey, yeah, threw some extras in for me. He gave me this or that for the call and the purchase. So, again, I cannot promise you what's going to happen other than you're going to be treated very well, but oftentimes he will add some stuff. You get a little bonus for ordering. We do not have a promo code or anything like that. You know, sometimes on the show we'll have a promo code you can use for various items. In this case, it's just a relationship we have with them. And yes, we can give you a contact and somebody to talk to at the good people down in. They're in the Augusta area. They moved their offices within the last year. I think they're in the same area, though. But they're in the Augusta, beautiful Augusta, Georgia area. Okay. to football, right? Yeah. Hey, Bill, let's get back on path here. Nothing new in the Tennessee search. I don't think this search is going like the last one, which was just a comedy of errors, right? No, I don't think it's anything like that one back about, what would that have been, about 4 years ago. But this one, just methodical. Tennessee's got a new leader who has autonomy. And Danny White, no, not the Cowboys quarterback, back in the, what would that have been, right after Roger Staubach in the, 70s? No, not the same guy. From the White family, though, which would be Mike White, the basketball coach at Florida. Kevin White, the dad, who is finishing up at Duke, but has been an AD a long time. He was at Notre Dame prior as well. Got a brother who is the AD at FAU down in Boca, down in Jim's area. And Joe's area. Friends of ours down there in Florida. So many people listen to the show from the beautiful Sunshine State. And then they've got a sister who is at SMU in athletic administration. I'm not sure exactly what she does, but again, she's one of the very successful White family folks in athletics. Anyway, she's got autonomy, and Aliquippa Bob sent us this overnight. And again, pardon the voice. I'm a little bit hoarse this morning. I could feel this coming on overnight, but we'll be okay. You're just going to hear, occasionally you're going to hear a little crackling while we're doing this, that there was a message board. Yes, that's what we're doing. We're quoting message boards. It said James Franklin had been offered $8 million. James Franklin, unless there's something going on behind the scenes, unforeseen, is not leaving his dream job at Penn State. James Franklin's ultimate destination job is the job he's got, Penn State. I know this last year was very trying for him. It was a tough year. Got a really poor start, starting with the Indiana game that got away from him right at the end, if you'll recall. And they stumbled around for a while before they got on track somewhat. But that's his ultimate destination. If you ask him, where's the place that you ultimately want to get to early in his career, he would have told you Penn State. Everybody's got that one place probably back in their mind. Boy, I wish I could get there someday. Wherever that might be, that's his. Now, again, I don't know anything about the number, the $8 million and all that. I find that I'm skeptical there. Oh, Tennessee would be willing to spend big. I don't think that's an issue here, but I just don't. I don't buy that. Yeah, I don't buy that. It makes interesting copy. I was talking with Ole Miss Evie yesterday, and of course she's down there and they're happy. They've got Lane Kiffin, the football program. It's got a lot of energy behind it. The fans are super pumped up. This is the happiest I've seen Ole Miss football in a while. Well, Hugh Freeze, before all the controversy, probably since then, when they went back-to-back and beat Nick Saban. This is the happiest I've seen them. Recruiting is going well. They're energized. Lane Kiffin is doing well. He's energized. He's matured. He's not kind of the brat he was in 09 when he took the Tennessee job. He's not. He's matured a lot. He's not that same guy. He's still got some of that humor in him, yeah. He's still fun, but he's matured. And there's all the rumors about, well, maybe Kiffin will go back home. Well, number one, that's not his home. He was there for a year. He's not from there. But we were remarking, this is the first time that I can recall in a Tennessee search, and remember, they've had a ton of them since they fired Fulmer in 08. They've had tons of head coaching searches. Each one does not produce either. Each one doesn't turn out. Each time. They swung and missed with, well, Kiffin did okay, but he left in a year. They swung and missed with Dooley. Swung and missed with Sergeant Carter at the end. Swung and missed with Jeremy Pruitt, and now they're trying to get a new one. They've done this a lot. Lots of searches. This is one where John Gruden's name has not been brought up. Nobody's trying to track John Gruden to the McGee Tyson Airport up in East Tennessee. That I know, of course, he's got the Raiders job. That's probably a big part of it. But every time it's funny because people start believing these rumors and then they start propagating them, right? They start spreading them, yeah. My source, can't tell you who it is, says a huge announcement coming. I mean a monstrosity. I'm telling you, the announcement I'm hearing we're about to have will take the Earth's tectonic plates and rub them like never before. You'll think the Earth is cracking open. See, it's that kind of stuff. You have to learn how to sift through all that kind of stuff as well. Alan down in Tampa said, Bill, when I ordered my BFG, which is the monster Rectac, they gave me a free cover. Those things are big, too. Those covers ain't cheap. So just call Jordan if you are going to order. I'll give you a number and mention my name. You'll get some freebies somewhere in there. All right, first break. Bucks coming up. Omni, Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. The interstate's been shut down here for at least 30 minutes on 24 eastbound at Harding Place. They're trying to open it back up here in the next few minutes, but what a mess. Several cars are involved, several injuries. That's 24 eastbound at Harding Place right now on this accident. It's got traffic backed up pretty good as you head out towards Murfreesboro. Hey, Ripley's Aquarium of the Smokies will be hosting Sleep with the Sharks March 27th. All the details at ripleysaquariumofthesmokies.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
You have a 90% chance of surviving a lightning strike. You have a 98% chance of surviving a shark attack. You have a 99% chance of surviving a snake bite. But you only have a 50% chance of surviving a crash if you aren't wearing a seatbelt. Your truck may be tough, but a seatbelt makes it tougher. Buckle up in your truck. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Willard's Roofing Renovations of Middle Tennessee, our premier veteran-owned and operated exterior expert, is reminding Americans to show support to the brave men and women who serve our U.S. military. Visit USO.org to see how you can send a military care package today. This message is from Willard's Roofing Renovations of Middle Tennessee. For roofing, siding, gutter, storm damage, restoration, insurance claims, and more, call today at 615-956-5775. Willard's Roofing Renovations of Middle Tennessee, proudly saluting our troops and veterans. Now that we've put 2020 in the rear view, there's no better place to celebrate than Bob's Steak and Chop House at the Omni Nashville Hotel, located 5th Avenue downtown. The menu formula is simple. Incredible meat, gigantic shrimp, fabulous salads, and decadent desserts. Classic steakhouse food prepared and presented in a manner that Bon Appetit calls the kind of fare you'll want to go back for again and again. Voted one of the top 50 restaurants in the country by Travel and Leisure magazine, and one of only 11 steakhouses in America that serves A5 Wagyu steak. Bob's Steak and Chop House offers the classic steakhouse experience. Book your table now for the most romantic Valentine's Day ever. For reservations, call 615-761-3707. Open Wednesday through Saturday, 5 to 10 p.m. And they've got complimentary valet parking available. Bob's Steak and Chop House, located 5th Avenue downtown at the Omni Nashville Hotel.
Attention, concerned citizens.
Hey guys, Zach Williams here, and if you're tired of being called a boomer or don't understand why young kids are putting kale in everything,
it's the single greatest thing on earth.
After all, this is America.
Then you need to join me on Sundays from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. on Millennial Sports Mornings, and we can help you be just a little bit younger. Again, that's Millennial Sports Mornings, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. I know you had trouble keeping up with that. Right here on Nashville Sports Radio. Hashtag Fat Side Up. Tweet to Bill at Bill is King to enter the arena of ideas.
Does our buckle on Tuesdays checks in with us. Buck, good morning. And I want you to begin with Tony Elliott at Clemson. He is reportedly a candidate at Tennessee. Tennessee fans want a established head coach, which I don't think they're going to get. I don't think so either, Bill.
I'm glad you said that, but go ahead.
So your thoughts on Tony Elliott and his preparedness for the next step, wherever it may be.
So I don't know Tony as well as I know Jeff Scott.
Right.
Jeff was at Florida State, so Jeff and I hit it off. Tony and I always see each other. He's always good to me. I think he grew up in California. There's a great story if folks haven't seen it about him, so I'm not going to go into that. But I think Tony Elliott is pound for pound one of the best play callers. He and Jeff Scott had a great combination of what they did. He's now the offensive coordinator at Clemson, and you just think about the era of time, you know, whether he's been there, whether it was starting with, I think he touched Taj Boyd a little bit, but then Deshaun Watson, you now see Trevor Lawrence. And they really, he's been a key component to that from a recruiting standpoint, but also a culture. And you know, Dabo, as good as he is as a CEO and can, you know, do it, and I think Dabo doesn't get enough credit for his X and O skills as well, but his ability to pick a staff and how they've stayed together. They've lost a few guys, and you're starting to see that now. But I just think Tony Elliott, he should have been a head coach a couple of years ago if he wanted to. I think he's wanted to stay. He's watched his guys like Etienne now, who's going to be leaving and moving on. They've had, you know, Wayne Gallman. If you think about the running back position, which he coaches as well as offensive coordinator, I don't think Tennessee could go wrong. One stretch of the imagination, and it's not about him being a black coach. It's about him being a damn good coach at the college level and can recruit with the best of them. And Tennessee, I'm going to just tell all of you Vol fans, because I'm a Bruin, we're going through it too. So I'm saying this with sincerity. You got to stay out of the way and let somebody get in there and make sure they build a program. get rid of all that BS that's going on. We haven't done it at UCLA, so I'm telling you from a purposeful perspective. And we were both good programs at around the same time battling. Now we're unheard of. Let someone get in there as an athletic director and a coach and build your program back. And it starts with getting guys that understand how to recruit and know what it takes to build championships. And Tony Elliott has been there every step of the way with Dabo, both good, bad, and indifferent. So if he's on your list of people, I don't give a crap if he hadn't been a head coach. He's going to be a damn good coach because he's going to go program and he's going to get people and he's going to get Vol fans back thinking about their program.
I'm just thinking of West Coast. I was just thinking of the West Coast where you played.
Uh-huh.
But the late, great, yeah, G-word, great, Bill Walsh, at one point was somebody's assistant. I mean, you can't be born as the head coach. You have to be given the chance to be a head coach.
Exactly, people, Bill, and you got to be a leader of men, too, Bill. You got to be a leader of men, and he's been able to do that consistently. Bill Walsh was on the verge of, early in his career, people were saying he couldn't get it done. He wasn't this, he wasn't that. And how many Super Bowls did he win? Yeah, he had great players, but he put those players in position to make plays.
You mentioned Jeff Scott now down at USF, and he was there at Clemson. His dad, Brad Scott, it seems just like yesterday wasn't, that he was on that Florida State staff in the 90s that was so good, winning all those games. And then he got hired at South Carolina. I remember that press conference vividly at South Carolina.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and talking to Pat Carter, who I know pretty well, he just raves about, you know, Brad and Jeff. He was,
yeah.
Jeff, because Jeff was a little kid. He was, you know, for those of you who don't know Pat Carter, he was one of the reasons why I like Florida State. I said, who's this big number 85 running around making plays?
Right.
That was Pat Carter. And then he said the same thing about me. Who's that 81 at UCLA? Good Lord, because he went to the Rams and a lot of our guys. UCLA guys ended up going to the Rams. But nonetheless, the Scott family is a coaching family. And I just think when you have that in your blood and you can talk ball and you can be honest, and they know that when I, you know, some great conversations I've had over the years with Jeff and also Tony. But like I said, I just know Jeff better. But just to watch them make calls and plays and design offenses and watch them get kids in and develop them, I think that's the real key. When you look at programs that are going to succeed, you're going to get your share of 4 or 5 stars, but you got to also get those 3 stars that become guys that you never thought would be as good as they are. And I think that's where programs like Tennessee are going to have to get pricey. You're not going to beat Alabama to every single player, but there's some really good players out there that still want to wear that orange. And I think that's the big thing, even with South Carolina. I mean, you look at the SEC and you just start to say, okay, we may not be the top of the top, but you can still get really good players, and they still want to come play good football, and they still want to build a program. And there's some guys that don't want to go to Alabama. They want to go somewhere where they can be the ones to say, hey, I helped this program get back to the level that it needed to.
Taz Arbuckle with us every Tuesday. Buck, when you played and you were a receiving tight end, they threw the ball to you. You weren't just some inline blocker who was a glorified tackle. My question, though, did you foresee decades down the road where the tight end position would be so valuable and a commodity position? Because it was really back in the day, I'm not going to say it was an afterthought, but it wasn't that respected either as a key component.
Yeah, I think I started to see it as I transitioned out of the league. You know, you saw Shannon Sharp. You know, you saw offenses that really put a premium on tight ends, you know, that really valued what they could do. The concern I always had was that we were moving to spread offenses and saying, hey, we don't need that big body. But as you notice, look at Travis Kelce. Kelce can get on the end line and block, but he also is a guy that – His ability to run routes, it breaks you down. Gronk, when he was younger, and still, he can still do it occasionally. So I think the biggest thing is, no matter if you have 3 wides, that big body is a matchup problem for linebackers, safeties, anybody else. And I had always just kind of thought that at some point people were going to figure out, if you're making these linebackers smaller, like when I played, you know, Carl Banks was 6'5", 250. You don't see a lot of those inline guys. Those guys now put their hand in the dirt and they become defensive ends. So, yeah, I mean, when you see the maturation of how it is and how guys have progressed, it's a prime example. Mercedes Lewis, who's probably, what, 15, 16 years in, I highlighted a block he had. And Mercedes was considered a receiving guy, even when he first got to the league.
Yeah.
He took Jason Pierre-Paul and moved him 10 yards. Now, Jason Pierre-Paul had a hell of a game, but you don't see a grown man moving another grown man like that. And that's the thing you have sometimes when you have the capability of having a guy on the end of the line that can block, but also if you need him to get down the field in the seam and take a big shot. So, yeah, you could see it coming. You could see Antonio Gates. You could see Tony Gonzalez. You could see it. But there were still some teams that just figured, hey, I'll have a big guy that looks like a tackle, and then we'll have an H-back that can kind of move and occasionally put him in the game. You're seeing now more 12 personnel where you have a real inline guy, but he can still make plays, and then you have a guy that's a move guy that causes matchup problems. And you see Kansas City doing it a lot. You see other teams. So I think it's a copycat league, and as you see, no matter how much spread you see run, you still need to run the football when you want to. You still got to get first downs. You still got to make plays. That's where you have the tight end that plays such a vital role.
I was watching some of the NFL games over the weekend, the championship games. What is Gronk's role with them? I only saw, and it was a big play, a big conversion play, and it was in the second half. But I don't think they targeted him other than that one play, again, unless I just didn't see it. What's his role on that team?
His role is really if you've noticed, their run game has improved. Gronk has always been a really good blocker. He always has done that. Occasionally, they will use him in the pass game, and I think he and Brady are so – on, you know, simpatico that he knows when he has to do that. He's not used as much. I don't think they, you know, he's not going to get, if they run 70 plays, I don't see Gronk being, you know, all 70 of those plays. They use him where needed. I'll tell you the one guy that's profited the most from Gronk being there is Cameron Brate, who I don't think has ever gotten his due. But if you look at the guys that have scored touchdowns over the last 5-10 years, he's been right at the mix of that, but he's one of those guys that we always talk about. Kelsey, we talk about all these other tight ends. He doesn't get mentioned much, but Cameron Brate's ability in that offense has improved because Gronk is there, and it's allowing him, just like that touchdown, that one that we saw when they were playing 12 personnel, they had almost flank position, they blocked down. Safety totally forgets about Cameron Brate. He's in for 6. You see that a lot now, so Gronk's role is, hey, to get Leonard Fournette and Aaron Jones running the football well and to provide Brady with a guy that he knows is a personal protector. If you have a speed-rushing team like you will see, and he's there to chip, he's there to do some of the dirty work, and then occasionally they'll throw him a bone and he'll dance afterwards because he knows they've been to the Super Bowl, right? His true nature is to be there with Tom to enforce whatever Tom says and probably be his funny enforcer, so to speak. He's there to provide comic relief, but Gronk is a hell of a player and has been a hell of a player for most of his career.
Buck, I'll let you run on this. I, the last few years, have been down on Leonard Fournette. The injuries, the lack of productivity. He's kind of finding a nice little spot here, hasn't he? He's doing pretty well.
I think we're starting to see what Jacksonville's culture needs to be, and Urban has a lot of work to do there, and I think Leonard has been humble, right?
Yeah.
You're the third or fourth player pick. He was doing some things at LSU that I was like, hey, man, come on, get yourself together. But I like what he's done. He went in there and was humble, right? And now what are we saying? We're seeing the Leonard Fournette of what we all thought he would be. And it kind of started late in the season. But when you go home sometimes and you get some of that good home cooking, he ran well against the Saints. He ran well this past weekend. I think in order for the Buccaneers to win the Super Bowl, they're going to have a run game because Tom Brady can be as hot as he was in that first half. That's how bad he was in the second half because if you put pressure on him, you take him away. The run game is going to be key for them to beat Kansas City to control Patrick Mahomes and that quick strike offense. But with all that said, I think Leonard Fournette has really shown his value. And that was a great move by Bruce Arians and that staff of bringing him in and saying, look, you got to work your way back into shape, and you also have to be ready when we call on you. And one last thing. Let's give Byron Leftwich a lot of credit. Bruce Arians has said right away, I'm going to let Byron call plays. Byron's ability to link with Tom Brady, who has won all those Super Bowls, and get this offense going, because it was in a quagmire at a certain point in the year, remember? They're starting to really get going, and that first half showed me that they're on the same page. They just better be ready for Kansas City's pressure that's coming off the edge, and you know they're going to come with a lot of the corner plays. Tyrann Mathieu is going to be there. So I'm really looking forward to the Super Bowl just to see the matchups. But I got to give Byron Leftwich a lot of credit for what he's been able to do with that offense and helping Tom Brady get it to those weapons and get comfortable.
Buck, always good stuff, sir. Appreciate it, man.
All right. Hey, man, you have a good one. Take care.
There you go. Charles Arbuckle joins us. Yeah, when I think of Byron Leftwich, when I think of him, I think of that Marshall game. Where was it, an ankle? It was the leg or something. He was unable to really move at all. And in between plays, they would carry him. Like if he was standing in the shotgun and he throws a pass, it's complete for 15 yards. From where he threw the pass to where the new line of scrimmage is, they would carry him to the new line of scrimmage to line up. You remember that game? I don't remember the opponent. I should. But that's when I think, and obviously Buck was just talking about his ascending coaching career now. But that's what I think of as a player. Byron Leftwich in that Marshall game and the courage. He literally could not walk to the new line of scrimmage. So one guy on each side of him would grab a leg, kind of like a chair position, and they'd carry him forward to the next spot. It was amazing. Lake Norman Buckeye Bill. I still don't understand the hype around baby Kiff or Cristobal. What has Kiff actually done? Nothing on Rocky Top, and he got tarmacked at USC. Well, I think the attraction of Kiff is this. He is an excellent offensive mind, and he does have a lot of experience as a head coach. And he did spend that time at Alabama, even though the ending wasn't good. But I think he's matured a lot. I don't think he's the same, literally, immature brat he used to be. I don't. And I think he's doing a good job at Ole Miss. I really do. Now, we'll 1 year isn't going to define everything, but the first year I thought was a pretty good look. He inherited a team with zero defense. Literally zero defense. And they were revved up as heck on offense. I mean, they hit Florida. Of course, Florida's D wasn't their strength, but they moved up and down the field on Alabama, the Natty team. So I think he's attractive. Now, again, I don't know if he's attractive to Tennessee other than the 09 thoughts and recollections, but I don't know if Danny White's even looking in that direction at all. But I do think he's pretty attractive now. And I do think Ole Miss has done everything they knew to keep him around there. Coming right back here after the break. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. It's finally open here and back to flowing on 24 eastbound here at Harding Place. It's been crazy slow out here for the last hour because the interstate was blocked, but it's back open on 24 eastbound at Harding Place. James Robertson Parkway near the interstate. They just reported an accident with injuries. The fire department's en route. 40 eastbound off-ramp at 14th Avenue should be back open here in a few minutes. Ripley's Aquarium of the Smokies will be hosting Sleep of the Sharks March 27th. All the details at ripleysaquariumofthesmokies.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
It's just a few cocktails at happy hour.
There aren't any cops around.
After every game, we always have a few. It's no big deal.
It was just a few drinks. I'm good.
Hey, I can hold my liquor.
I drink and drive all the time.
you put away some drinks, put away your keys. Fans don't let fans drive drunk. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
It's time to say see you later, alligator, to embarrassing and troublesome issues with your skin, nails, and hair with all-natural Cayman Alligator Oil. Cayman Oil is locally made, right in Louisiana, where people have been using alligator oil for centuries to treat all kinds of ailments. A drop a day of Cayman Oil can help you say, see you later, alligator, to athlete's foot, nail fungus, acne, eczema, rashes, dry skin, cuts, infections, MRSA, scars, burns, sunburns, and even ingrown hair and dandruff. If you or someone you know is tired of suffering with any of these skin, nail, and hair troubles, you need to visit mycayman.com to learn more about 100% natural, non-toxic, hypoallergenic Cayman oil and get a bottle today. Say, see you later, alligator, with Cayman Alligator Oil at mycayman.com. That's mycayman.com. mycayman.com.
If you're looking to turn the corner in 2021 in a new job with a family-owned business that believes the best way to serve customers is by taking care of its employees first, let me tell you about Goggin Cold Haul. Goggin Cold Haul operates within a 500-mile radius of its Smyrna base and seeks professional drivers to join its team with a $1,000 sign-on bonus. There's weekly home time with no northeast travel and no-touch freight with our late-model Freightliner and Kenworth trucks. A new beginning awaits you in 2021 at Goggin Cold Haul, the coldest team in town.
This is the Greg Pogue and John Burton Show.
Ted Lange with us.
I hate to keep bringing up Love Boat questions, but I have so many.
Go.
So, did you actually know how to bartend before you got the part of Isaac on the Love Boat?
I didn't know anything. You can see that I'm sticking umbrellas into blended drinks.
Greg Pogue and News Channel 5's John Burton. WNSR. Nashville Sports Radio.
If it's the P5, the G5, or a neutral site game in Council Bluffs, the Bill King Show has it covered.
Brent links the Byron Leftwich Marshall game where he's getting carried down the field. Appreciate that. I just retweeted that. 614 Rob, and then we'll get a call or two or three. Crazy Charlie says, Bill, Baby Kip is just a younger version of Bob Petrino minus the motorcycle. Well, now Petrino was a brilliant offensive mind. I mean legit brilliant. He's also legitimately as big a jerk as you'll ever meet. And I don't mean because of the Blondie thing. He's just a jerk. The guy walks around, and he's a jerk. He's an incredibly gifted offensive mind, and frankly, when he's right, he's a really good head coach. Kiffin is not a jerk. Not at all. So totally different personalities. And so I'll say that the common thread is they're both offensive-minded side-of-the-ball guys, and they're both very gifted. Petrino probably more so, but Kiffin's up there. Jim and Ramsey, welcome in, Jim.
I just want to start this off by, can you please add Tarmac to unhired as, you know, someone getting canned going forward? That's a classic line. I love that.
What was the say that again? I'm sorry. What was the classic line?
Tarmac. He was Tarmac.
Oh, yeah. Lake Norman Buckeye, that was a good one. Yes.
I'm down in Deerfield Beach, Florida. I almost drove off the road going over a bridge. I thought that was hysterical. Hey, Bill, the greatest thing for the Pac-12 is they got rid of Larry Scott, the tennis tournament guru. What a freaking, what a stupid hire that was.
Okay, now I got one for you. You got to remember what his name is, Lim O'Leary.
Someone that couldn't do his job and he wanted his ass kissed every day. It's like, it makes it that much worse.
Yep, they finally, I don't know what all it took to move heaven and earth, but they got that done, and he's going to be out.
What kind of golden parachute is he getting? Is he getting a Phil Fulmer? Phil Fulmer's getting, you know what? They're canning secretaries, laying people off. This is my problem with big-time college athletics is, you know, you got Barry Alvarez. He's getting his money. Phil Fulmer gets his money. These guys should all be playing golf down in Florida or out in Arizona or something, and they find money. Now, in the Tennessee case, that money that's paying Phillip, is that coming from the university or is that coming from one of the sugar daddy donors?
I would assume sugar daddies have stepped in, which they have many, and they're stroking checks here, I would assume.
I mean, that money, it's just obscene.
Yeah.
You know, how many Vol fans are killing themselves to make, you know, $60,000 a year, you know, paying for everything for their kids and, you know, they love their Vols and you got him making that kind of money in retirement. It's a joke. It's just a downright joke.
And it's not slowing down.
No, absolutely not. Hey, Bill. What do you think's going to happen with, like, Syracuse? Do you see them righting the ship?
They had such a good year, three years ago? Best year they'd had in decades. And now the roster has eroded. The roster has, I wouldn't say fallen apart, but nothing's clicking for them. And I'm shocked there. The quick flip and turn around to the negative side. I thought they had some momentum there that they could take equity out of, so to speak, and continue on, and it's not happening. No, it's hard to watch. When I would turn Syracuse on this last season, it was a hard watch.
Jimmy's friend is the quarterback there, this kid Tommy DeVito. He's like a crash test dummy.
Right.
I think he was the most sacked quarterback in Division I last year. It was
brutal.
Really sad. Oh, Bill. And, you know, you had their two best running backs last year opted out. What happens this year? Are all these kids that opted out last year, are they coming back to the party or are they, you know, they're moving on?
I really haven't. The ones that opted out, but they weren't leaving. They just said, I don't want to play this year. I haven't looked down the list, so I don't really know what each has decided. I mean, now some of them obviously are high draft picks, but just the ones that are regular college players that aren't attractive, either you get out because you're playing no more ball or you play one more season or whatever you have left.
Hey, do you think Tennessee goes and looks for like a Forrest Gregg type that, you know, had to hit the restart button at SMU? Like somebody that, you know, people believe in, good morals, you don't have to worry about them. Remember when Forrest Gregg,
oh, yeah,
like jump started?
Yep, I was watching every bit of it. I think Tennessee wants a younger coach with lots of recruiting impact and an offensive mind. That's what I think they want. It doesn't have to be young, but it can't be a guy in the golden years or something. I don't think that's a target. No.
Gotcha. Hey, Bill, have a great, you know, rest of your week.
I will.
Take care.
Couple things here on Twitter. Julia, Bill. Changes to the show schedule breaks, and the show sounds less insulting to some people out there. The scheduled breaks are to sync up all the stations. That started on Monday. It's something we've been talking about for weeks, and it started today. It just syncs everything up a lot better. That's what we're doing. That's why you hear the music. Crazy Charlie, there's a music bed, and it gives me about 60 seconds. You hear it? There it is right there. That's the change, just to have us on time. And it's still got a lot of time to elaborate. It's no different other than, and hour number three goes back to the way it was. Hour number three is not the music beds that you hear right now that are pre-planned. That's the only change we've got. Content on the show is solely about me. and what I think. There's no conversations there. Coming right back after the break. Got more calls.
Good morning. It's finally open here and back to flowing on 24 eastbound here at Harding Place. It's been crazy slow out here for the last hour because the interstate was blocked, but it's back open on 24 eastbound at Harding Place. James Robertson Parkway near the interstate. They just reported an accident with injuries. The fire department's en route. 40 eastbound off ramp at 14th Avenue should be back open here in a few minutes. Ripley's Aquarium of the Smokies will be hosting Sleep of the Sharks March 27th. All the details at ripleysaquariumofthesmokies.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
This is Brent Musburger's Action Update for WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
This Action Update brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts, your professional parts people. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
College basketball tonight, 18th-ranked Tennessee, a 10.5-point favorite over Mississippi State at home. 24th-ranked Oklahoma, a 4.5-point road underdog at 5th-ranked Texas. 9th-ranked Alabama, -8.5 at home against Kentucky. Dayton, +10 at number 22 St. Louis. And 12th-ranked Mizzou, a 2.5-point road underdog at Auburn. Super Bowl 55, the Chiefs a 3-point favorite to win their second straight Lombardi Trophy. Kansas City, -173 on the money line. Tampa Bay at +153 in their home stadium. The over-under 56.5. Kickoff at 6:30 Eastern on February 7th, a week from Sunday. For VSiN.com, I'm Trey Westerberg, Nashville Sports Radio.
Listen up, football fans. I've got the perfect way to make the playoffs even more exciting this weekend. It's called a same game parlay bet, and it's only available on FanDuel Sportsbook. A same game parlay bet lets you combine multiple bets from a single game for an even bigger win during the game. You can combine the money line, the over under, and player props all in one parlay. And best of all, FanDuel is letting you place a same-game parlay bet risk-free. If you haven't already, just download that app, the FanDuel Sportsbook app, and use my promo code, which is BKING, B-K-I-N-G, same-game parlays, only available on FanDuel Sportsbook.
Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789.
Forecast. Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Sky Scan forecast for this morning. Mostly sunny, high 64. Partly cloudy tonight, low 37. Partly sunny with a chance of showers tomorrow, high 46. Chance of showers and mostly cloudy tomorrow night, low 27. Utilizing the resource of the Weatherbug Network and Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Bob Stein.
Sports Radio WNSR.
He's got the exculpatory evidence on college sports. It's Bill King.
Greg Allman, not Greg Allman from the Allman Brothers, but Greg Allman, A-U-M-A-N, who's been down in Tampa for many years. He's now with the Athletic, says, still amazed how often the Byron Leftwich topic comes up. Playing on a broken leg, getting carried down the field by the lineman at Marshall. And here's his article. I linked it. I think you have to have a membership there, a sub. You've got to have a subscription, but good article. Good article nonetheless. Armageddon, welcome in.
Bill, I've been up for over 2 hours. I was up for sunrise this morning.
Is that what was the purpose of that? Just want to get up and get going?
Yeah, I just wanted to get up and get going, Bill. Shower, breakfast, things like that. Got a little early business this morning, Bill.
What about your typical morning McDonald's stop? And did they put a little extra cash in your bag when you got your food?
No, that'd be nice if they did, though, Bill.
It would. That'd be a nice gesture if when you went to fast food, they put cash in there just to let you know they're appreciative.
I could try that, you know, down on West End, Bill. But, you know, VUPD may not like that.
That's true. You're already on the Vanderbilt's got, like, the FBI has a most wanted list, and Armageddon's face is the first one on the board.
Bill, you know, I was thinking about it. Correct me if I'm wrong. Tennessee is the only Power 5 job that's open right now, is it not?
Yes, unless I'm forgetting something this morning with a hoarse voice. Yes, I think the Vols are pretty much it. Because it's an odd time of year.
So now that they've hired an AD, I would think they would move pretty quickly on this, don't you think?
I think so. I'd be shocked if it's – I thought it might be done by today. But I would think if it happens this week as of Friday, I don't think that would be unusual. I think they're pretty close. I'd be surprised.
Do you think Jamie Chadwell's name is – in the mix?
Well, I think it might be in the mix. Now, to what level, I think that's unclear right now. I don't know, as well as he's done at Coastal Carolina, I'm a fan. I don't know if Tennessee, now again, this is Tennessee, and actually this is Danny White, not Tennessee, but Danny White's got the autonomy here. I don't know if Chadwell's resume is quite where he wants it yet.
What do you think's next for Skullcan, Bill?
Well, he wants to go back to Alabama and return to his home and his roots and be the defensive coordinator. I think he's too radioactive right now. They've got to clear up what his culpability was specifically in all of these allegations. And if he's going to get a show cause, maybe the SEC gets involved and says you can't hire him. He's too radioactive. As of right now, I don't think he's got much. Unless now the flip side of that is the NFL doesn't care about any of that stuff. So maybe an NFL team would pick him up. But right now, I don't see him getting back to his alma mater, at least at the moment, and I don't see a college able to hire him.
Get that rec tech going, Bill. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Yes, sir. Appreciate the call very much. Crazy Charlie says a couple of minutes we've got here till the top. Aliquippa Bob, up in Pittsburgh, if you don't know your geography. Hey, Bob.
Hey, Bill. Good morning. Well, I hope you feel better with that hoarse voice. In a couple of minutes, all I need, Bill. This thing about Franklin, I saw it on the message boards, and then I did a little internet snooping. Chris Lowe has a story on it. So does The Athletic. And, you know, Bill, this thing with Franklin's starting to get old. I mean, it really is. And I'm starting to wonder, when does he push it past the point of ridiculousness and start to really irritate big donors and alumni? What are your thoughts on it? It seems like if the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga has an opening, James Franklin's name's out there.
All right, let me ask you something. Tell everybody the very brief cliff notes of what Chris Lowe wrote.
He basically said that James Franklin is a home run hire. He's an outside choice, an outside home run hire. And he named two other coaches, and I don't recall who they were. And The Athletic, which I don't subscribe to them, so I couldn't read the article, but their caption was that James Franklin and P.J. Fleck's names were being thrown around. So the point of this is, Bill, is that I'm with you. I don't think Franklin's going anywhere. But at what point does he really start to irritate the alum? You know what I mean?
I've seen this many times. I'll give you a quick story. Back when Tubbs was at Ole Miss, before he did leave for Auburn, a couple times rumors came out about him flirting with other jobs, and I had some buddies who were donors at Ole Miss, and each time they would get a call, and the call was, we need you to pony up here. Tubbs is flirting again on us. And I remember the last time my guy said, I told him, don't call me again over this topic. I'm not going to do it again. Leave if you're going to leave. But we're not going to be held hostage every time. And, again, I'm not necessarily saying that's happening with James, but you're right. The alums do get tired of it after numerous attempts here.
Yeah, and I talked to Doug DeBias and I there, you know, last night we talked at length about it. And I think – I can't speak for Doug, but for myself, this is getting to be an old act. And it's like, hey, James, you've got four offensive coordinators in the last 5 years, You need a quarterback. You had considerable problems last year on a team that, was ranked in the top 10. And, you know, I hear all this stuff about winning four games, but you really won four games against four lowly ranked teams. I'm not taking shots at anybody. So I think he's got a lot of other things to worry about instead of getting his name thrown out there for head coaches. And I'll leave it at that, Bill. So,
Bob, thank you, buddy.
Thanks for the airtime.
Yep. We'll appreciate it up there in Aliquippa, Pittsburgh. Hour two coming up, and that means Gator Dave will join us. Just a couple of minutes out, we'll go down to Duval to talk some Gator football and SEC as well.